God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based teaching of Dr. Don Wilton as we conclude this Hebrew series. Today we wrap up this message called Why Jesus Was Crucified, studying in the book of Hebrews. And though there'll be more from Hebrews, this puts a bow on a concept that you and I can live out our lives today in the resurrection of Christ because Jesus was crucified. As we discover more, know that we're available for you, both on the phone at 866-899-WORD. We're having friends call to pray with us to connect you with resources like the wonderful Be Salt and Light message from Dr. Wilton and the book, A Call for Courage. You can take a look at those on our website as well. TEWonline.org. That's TEWonline.org or 866-899-9673. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles wherever you are and open them to Hebrews chapter 10. A lady sat next to me and I looked at her and she looked at me, we were talking, and she said to me, "Why would you want to become a Christian?" I've given a lot of answers to that question and I can tell you that I'm sure that most of the answers that you and I give are good. But on this particular day, as we taxied into the airport terminal, I looked at her and I said something that had a profound effect on my own heart. I said to her, "I'm a Christian because Jesus died for me." I had no idea what was to come in the series we were preaching. We weren't quite where we are. But this is the fourth Sunday we've been trying to answer the question, why did Jesus die? Every day that I'm in our beloved community and here in our church, I look into the faces of men and women who identify with sacrificial death. We have a rich history in America. And even here in our own congregation, over the decades, the numbers of people who have laid down their lives. We honor our police officers. Very much indeed, members of our sheriff's department. Those who serve in our armed forces who are willing to lay their lives down. We have days that commemorate their sacrifice. We don't say nearly enough. We don't build nearly enough monuments. There's so much more that we could do because we honor them. How much more so ought we to ask the question concerning the Lord Jesus? Why was he crucified? I want to read it to you again. Found in Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible says that the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to God in worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but rather a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." Then Jesus said, "Here I am, as it has been written about me, by the prophets in Isaiah, for example, in the scroll, 'I have come to do your will, O God.'" First, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." Then Jesus said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will. I've come to set aside the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, that is God's perfect will, we, that is people like me, like Don Wilton, we have been made holy through the sacrifice, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ once for all." After all, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins." He's talking about someone like me, by the way. "Your sins, Don Wilton. The sins of all people. Their sins and lawless acts, I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." May the Lord write His word upon our hearts. Why Jesus was crucified? Number one, He was crucified in order to make people like Don Wilton perfect, to make us perfect. As difficult as that may seem, we are made perfect not because of ourselves, but because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Number two, Jesus was crucified in order to remove the burden of our sin. Our sin is taken and cast as far as the east is from the west, remembered no more. Number three, this is where we are. Number three, Jesus Christ was crucified in order to give His body. Now, we understand the sacrifice of the body. We've talked about it. So many people over the years and centuries have given their bodies for great and just causes, have died in the line of battle and in the field of duty and service. Why was it necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, to give His body? I mean, this is mentioned several times in verse 5 of chapter 10, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body." You can go back down into verse 10. It says that by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could there have been an alternative? Could Jesus have died in some way so as not to inflict punishment on the human side of His deity? Did He have to subject Himself to the pain that He was subjected to in His body? Well, we've looked at a number of reasons why it was necessary for Him to give His body. Number one, because His body bore our grief, provides the pillars, the support system. Number two, because His body carried our sorrows, literally picks my sorrows up, my human condition. And because of the body of Jesus Christ, I have full confidence that my sorrow is carried through the fact that He gave His body to be sacrificed. Number three, and this is where we were, He gave His body because His body was pierced for our sin. Literally, that's what happened. What happened was that God allowed the impenetrable to become penetrable. People say all the time, why? Why would God allow Jesus Christ to give His body and to be pierced? I want to tell you why, my friend. Because God, of all people, is holy and righteous. He is untouchable. He is unapproachable. He is magnificent. He is above all and through all. And God, because of His love and because of His mercy, He knew that no man can look upon His face and live. This is the Creator of the world, the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills and the wealth in every mine. It is this God who by His divine will gave Jesus Christ to die upon a cross, to give His body. And by virtue of His giving His body, God made an announcement. He said, "You can touch me now. You can touch me. Anybody can touch me. You can come into my presence and you can touch me because my Son was pierced for your sin." Why was Jesus crucified? Why was Jesus crucified? To give His body Number four, because his body was crushed for our iniquity. That word crushed, according to the prophet, means several things. It means to squeeze with a force that destroys. It means to pound into small particles. When Jesus' body was crushed for our iniquities, what it means that it was utterly oppressed and suppressed. It means to humiliate. It means when you crush something, it means that you force out or you obliterate. Why did Jesus give his body? Why was he crucified? In order to be squeezed, to be pounded, to be utterly suppressed, to be humiliated, to be obliterated. Why? Because that was the need that God demanded based upon the sin of people like Don Wilton. Why was Jesus crucified? To give his body. For with his body he bore our grief. He carried our sorrows. With his body he was pierced for our sin. He was crushed for our iniquity. Number five, because his body was chastened for our well-being. That word there, chastened, literally means to have infliction meted out upon it. It means that it had suffered affliction. The word there, chasten, literally means to suffer affliction in order to produce a better product. Most of you know that I love to grill out and barbecue and things. I love burning chicken. And several years ago, the deacons in our church for Christmas gave me a grill, and that's one of my favorite things on my deck. And I just like being outside, man, and all that stuff, and get out there, and I don't know what I'm doing, but it tastes good sometimes, and we just have a good time. Is there anything like it? Labor Day coming up, folks, I am going to cook up a storm, I'm telling you. I'm going to burn everything in Spartanburg. I tell you one thing my wife has taught me. When you get certain kinds of meat, now some of you men need to listen. Pick up some tips here from the master chef. When you get certain kinds of meat, if you want that meat to be tenderized, to taste right, to cook right, you know what you got to do? You got to get a hammer and beat the poor thing to death. I mean, you just stand there, sing a song or something. Pam, 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 just pound away at it. Folks, do you know what happens when you pound away at meat? You are producing a better product. I know it sounds crazy. But folks, that's what happened when Jesus was chastised in his body. Jesus allowed his body to be pounded away at in order to produce the product that was necessary to approach the throne of grace. Our bodies, the way they are, our unpounded bodies are sinful, sin-sick bodies that are destined to a devil's hell. And in order for us to come into the presence of God, it was necessary for Jesus to give his body because his body was chastened for our well-being. Number six, because his body was scourged for our healing. By the way, the word scourge there is interesting. His body was scourged. He took a beating. It means he was whipped. It means he was punished. It means it was afflicted upon him. Why was Jesus crucified? Three reasons we've got. Number one, to make us perfect. Number two, to remove the burden of our sin. Number three, to give his body. Number four, to do the will of God. To do the will of God. Now, folks, listen to this. Many times here, verse 7, verse 9, verse 10, look at verse 9. He said, "Here I am, I've come to do your will." God's will was the issue at stake. Now, we have a problem with that as human beings, don't we? Folks, let me just tell you something. Can we just get down to nitty-gritty ground level here? Why was Jesus crucified? Because it was the will of God. Any questions this morning? Because God said so.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the rest of today's message from Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But isn't that last phrase of Dr. Don's just the most important one? Because God said so. Not because Dr. Don said so or any of us at the Encouraging Word, but because God said so. We believe God has called this ministry to lift up His name, the name of Jesus, and His scriptures, the Bible itself. This Bible-based preaching is something that we believe needs to be shared even more. I pray that you'll consider praying for our ministry. You can find out more details about who we are, our history, our sense of accountability, and more are on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And as you discover more about what God's doing through the ministry of the Encouraging Word, if you see the fruit and understand why we feel called to do this and do even more, perhaps you would be prayerfully involved with us and financially as well. Just know that this is fertile soil where God is being glorified every day. Discover more online at tewonline.org. Now back to today's great teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
Didn't ask anybody to think about it. Didn't call the angels in for a convention. He didn't consult all the pastors. He didn't find out what was appropriate or whether it was comfortable. This was the will of God. Why was Jesus crucified? To do the will of God. This was the demand of the Father. This was the example of the Son. And this is the call of the disciple. Now, folks, we call ourselves a disciple-making church. What does that mean? It means that our primary responsibility as Christian men and women and as God's church centers in one thing, and that is to do the will of God. If God says it, we do it. Who led the battle cry? Jesus Christ. Obedience was the hallmark of everything that he did. It was the will of God. God spoke, Jesus did it. Number five, why was Jesus crucified? Let me run them through again. Number one, to make us perfect. Number two, to remove the burden of sin. Number three, to give his body. Number four, to do the will of God. Number five, to establish the only way to God. That's what verse 10 tells us. It is by this means that we are made holy. What means? Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. What does that mean? To establish the only way to God. This is the means by which, number one, man is eternally forgiven. It's what he told us in verse 17, that these their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Number two, it is the means by which man is eternally sanctified. We are told in verse 10 that we are set apart to become holy. Go back and read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 through 8, the holiness of man by virtue of the sacrifice of the Son. Number three, it is the means by which man is offered salvation. You see, Jesus, my friend, died upon the cross in order to establish the only way to God. And it carries with it two very important principles. It is the means by which man is positionally guaranteed his place with God. I am positionally, because of the imputed righteousness of God, I am guaranteed my place in the presence of God. But it goes further than that. It goes to the second principle. It is the means by which man is practically changed because of his relationship with God. Folks, watch this. The only way that salvation is offered is through Jesus Christ. What happens? When I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, positionally, I'm guaranteed my place alongside God. Practically, I am changed as a man because of my relationship with God. Lady came to me several months ago. Her husband gave his life to Jesus. She said to me, Pastor, she said, I cannot explain to you. I'm so happy and so overjoyed that my husband has had his sins forgiven and that he's going to heaven one day and our family is complete. I said, you've got a but to that, haven't you? There's something else you want to tell me. She said, oh, no, it's good. She said, I know that that's important. She said, but what thrills me more than ever is that my husband is a changed man. He's different. He smiles, he sings. He's different with the children, different with me, different in the home. He's a changed man. Why was Jesus crucified? Number one, to make us perfect. Number two, to remove the burden of sin. Number three, to give his body. Number four, to do God's will. Number five, to establish the only way to God. And number six, Jesus Christ was crucified in order to sit down at the right hand of God. You see, friends, the Bible tells us here in verse 12 and 13, look at it. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. That's what Hebrews is all about. It establishes the superiority of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It establishes who Jesus Christ is because of his sacrifice. Consider it. In the Old Testament, there were many priests. The New Testament, with Jesus, there's but one. The old way of doing things, sacrifices were made repeatedly. Now that Jesus has come, there's only one sacrifice, once for all. The old way of doing it, the old priest would stand up and do everything standing up. The new way, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we witness Jesus Christ sitting down at the right hand of God the Father. So what is it? Why was Jesus crucified? Why did he sit down? Well, number one, it was a sign of honor. Number two, it was a sign of authority. Number three, it was a sign of rest. His work was done. Price had been paid. Timing was perfect. Number four, it was a sign of intercession. Go and read Romans chapter 8 and verse 34 if you like. It was a sign of intercession. Number five, it was a sign of majesty. When Jesus sat down, was God's greatest declaration concerning the majesty of the Son, Jesus Christ. How did this happen? Well, we know the story, don't we? His pre-existence established his royalty. Jesus' birth in the manger announced his royalty. Jesus' death distinguished his royalty. Jesus' resurrection confirmed his royalty. Jesus' ascension magnified his royalty. And Jesus' seat at the right hand of God declared his royalty. God made an announcement when Jesus sat down. He said, "This one who is seated at my right hand is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords." God made a declaration. Jesus Christ had come full circle because he was obedient even unto his death upon the cross. Several weeks ago, I sat next to a lady on an airplane, and after some discussion, this very fine lady said to me, "Why would you want to be a Christian?" And I looked at her and I said, "Because Jesus died for me." You see, my friend, if Jesus had not been crucified, I could never have been made perfect. If Jesus had not been crucified, I could never have the burden of my sin removed. If Jesus Christ had not been crucified, I would have never had the benefits that I have received because he gave his body. If Jesus Christ had not been crucified, I could never have been accepted in the presence of God in accordance with his will. If Jesus Christ had not been crucified, the only way to God could never have been made possible. And if Jesus Christ had not been crucified, he could not have sat down at the right hand of the Father which is in heaven. A lady sat next to me on an airplane a couple of weeks ago. And she turned to me and she said, "So why are you a Christian?" And I turned to her as we rolled into that concourse. And I said, "Because Jesus died for me."
What a powerful time of teaching from God's Word with Dr. Don Wilton. You've heard him from the pulpit, and now as he steps into the studio, I pray you'd open your heart to what he wants to share next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If you just prayed along with Dr. Wilton to receive Christ as your Savior, or perhaps to rededicate your life to Jesus, you need to know we would love to encourage you in the next steps to help you grow, to help you find a local church near you. We have these wonderful resources Dr. Don has prepared for you absolutely free that we'll be happy to send to you if you'll just call and share your decision. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. That's 866-899-9673. And we'd love to speak with you, pray with you, and connect you with these great free resources. As a matter of fact, if you'd rather go online, you can do that as well. Our website is tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org, where you'll find great resources like this.
No one is born courageous, but everyone hopes to have courage when the time comes. This month, for your gift of $25 or more to the Encouraging Word, you will receive Be Salt and Light, a powerful two-message series by Dr. Wilton that includes a Christian's response to a nation in crisis and a Christian response to a personal attack. Plus, you will receive A Call for Courage, a soul-stirring book that will help motivate you into action. Both of these ministry resources will help you know why you should respond and how to respond when under attack. Remember, God has not given us the spirit of fear. You can stand up. Call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And request to be Salt and Light in the bonus book, A Call for Courage, today. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting the Encouraging Word. Now is the time to spread the gospel.
What a great week of teaching here on the Encouraging Word. And as we launch to the weekend, Dr. Don would want me to remind you, let's all find ourselves in church on Sunday. No excuses. Now, there are some situations, medically and otherwise, where we'll have to take on technology, watch on television, connect online, listen on radio. But if you can, you need to be in church on Sunday, and we'll love to encourage you along those lines. If you don't have a church in your area, we have a wonderful network of churches we'd love to share with you at 866-899-WORD. Call us anytime.